Good morning again. Well, as we continue our Christmas story series this week, I'm wondering if we can be honest for just a moment. This is our fourth Sunday of Advent, so by now, I'm wondering how many of you have watched at least one Christmas movie this month? Show of hands. And keep your hands raised if you can be honest again. How many of you have watched a Christmas movie that has had some kind of love holiday story attached to it? Yes, even Die Hard has a romantic storyline attached to it, so this shouldn't be too difficult for you to admit. But Christmas movies are a part of our culture and produced at record pace every year. This year, Hallmark alone produced 41 new Christmas movies. 41. Yeah, there was applause at the first service for that, and I cut that off. Most of these stories tell a story of Christmas love. And right now, this week, Hallmark is the number one watched network by women over the age of 18. But that, you can't throw things at me because Jen wrote that. But that does not mean that there are no male viewers. In fact, Jen had a staff person this week tell her that her husband loves Hallmark movies and watches them all year round. But in case you have missed them, here are a few of the new movies in Hallmark's lineup this year. You, Me, and Christmas Trees. Olivia McKellar is Connecticut's resident expert on evergreens, who just days before the holiday agrees to help Jack Ayers, a fourth-generation Christmas tree farmer in Avon. A mysterious illness has befallen their firs, causing them to die out, threatening his family's 100-year business. As Olivia tries to get to the root of the problem and extends her stay in town, she and Jack spend more time together, and feelings begin to develop. The next movie, Christmas in Harmony. Harmony Murray is tricked into auditioning for the holiday chorus. Directed by an ex-boyfriend, James, by Christmas Eve, they could be harmonizing in the key of love. Nantucket Noel. During the Seaside Noel celebrations, Kristen learns of a developer who is planning to tear down the wharf that is home to her toy store. Tensions arise as she falls in love with the developer's son, Andy, of course. So if you are listening to those titles and storylines and wondering how do they do it, well, this video clip will show you exactly how the magic happens.
Okay, team, we need to keep cranking out these Christmas movies.
I mean, I think we've done it all.
Right? Guys, we are sitting on a goldmine.
They are very soothing.
Like Christmas Prozac.
Now, we have one more primetime spot to fill this week,
which gives us like 5 minutes to write this.
That sounds about average.
So dig deep, guys. Come on, what do you got?
Okay, big city lawyer goes back home.
Already did it.
Big city banker goes back home.
Already did it.
Big city NASA engineer.
Actually, we've never done that.
Boom! Women in STEM, too. We need that.
Okay, now, she doesn't believe in Santa.
Yes.
Because hard science has hardened her cold heart.
Amazing.
And she's on a space telescope, and she's like, hey, there's totally a man flying in orbit up there. Could that be Santa Claus?
How is he in space without a spacesuit?
Doesn't matter. Keep going.
So she's like, I need real proof. I'm gonna steal a rocket ship to find out if he's really Santa.
Ooh, nope, gotta scrap this.
Yep.
Why?
Guys, come on. What's the number one rule for making these movies?
It's a safe bet to reuse our sets.
Of course. Now, what else you got?
Ooh, Santa's son is looking for love.
Bingo.
Santa is like, you need to find a girl who's gonna be Mrs. Claus someday.
I love it!
But Santa takes away his trust fund to make sure she loves him for all the right reasons.
So Santa has a son.
Sure.
With a trust fund?
Doesn't matter.
And there's a girl.
She needs a ridiculous Christmas name.
Joy Von Mistletoe.
Used it.
Noel LeBlanc.
Used it.
Candy, holly jolly.
That works, gotta keep moving. How do they meet?
At a museum.
Nah, too expensive.
At a bookstore?
No one reads books.
Ooh, her dog Dasher runs away and he helps her find it.
Bullseye.
Because he can talk to animals. Santa can talk to animals, right?
Is it possible for Santa's son to take his shirt off?
Sure, they can visit a children's hospital.
Why would anyone take their shirt off in a children's hospital?
We did it in A Cure for a Christmas Prince.
Yep, they sure did. Okay, moving on.
And she's like, Am I really falling in love with this man who doesn't have a car and talks to animals? Also, could he be Santa Claus?
Wait, so why does she think he's Santa?
Ooh, because he's rapidly gaining weight and growing a white beard.
No, that's that Tim Allen.
Doesn't matter.
So they go together to the town skating rink.
We can just use the video of the rink from our last movie.
And Santa Jr. is like, Candy, I've really grown to love you. Oh, wait, my accent's really off. Candy, I've really grown to love you in the last 7 minutes. Will you marry me and come live with me?
Is that a southern accent?
Sure.
I thought he lived in the North Pole.
No, remember, he lives in space.
No, he doesn't. We nixed the space idea at the very beginning.
Shoot it on the green screen.
Done. Okay, now what's the ending?
He's like, now you can travel the galaxy in my sleigh. And by the way, I'm really Santa's hot son.
Wait, he's hot again? You said like 30 seconds ago that he was rapidly gaining
weight. After they kiss, he turns back into a prince.
Wait, is he a prince or is he Santa?
Whatever. And she's like, oh, yay! Boom, credits.
I don't like it. I love it!
All right. Knew you would.
Okay, last thing. What do we name it?
Falling in love with Santa.
Too predictable.
Out of this world Christmas.
Closer.
A Christmas love out of this world for Christmas.
That's the one. Okay, that's it. We start shooting in 3 minutes.
How is that possible? We don't even have a cast.
No, it's okay. I just got the girl from Avengers.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson?
No, Maria Wilson.
And she was?
Uncredited New York jogger.
Perfect.
I know I say this every time, but guys, this one is special.
Now, you don't have to have ever watched a Hallmark movie to appreciate this, right? It's a little ridiculous, and yet we watch, or at least people watch. And these predictable storylines are not just limited to Hallmark. One of the first movies this year that the Arnold family watched was Princess Switch 3. Yes, there is a Princess Switch 1 and Princess Switch 2. And it was so predictable, it was a bit painful at parts. But half of the fun was calling out what would happen next and trying to guess what they would say in the lines before they even said it. But here's the plot. The Vatican loans a priceless relic to Margaret, the Queen of Montenegro, for her Christmas celebration. Do we think that that is a formula for something to go wrong? Yes, yes we do. Margaret's troubled cousin Fiona is doing community service in an orphanage, and they ask for her help when the relic is stolen, and she reunites with an ex-boyfriend who still has feelings for her. Do we think her hardened heart will change and they will fall in love? Yes. Yes, we do. They think they know who stole the relic and create an elaborate plan to steal it back. Do we think that it will be successful and they will be able to return it to the Vatican before it's too late? Yes. Yes, we do. Do we think all the couples, two of which magically got together in the last Princess Switch movies, will all get happy endings? Yes. Yes, we do. We know what will happen before it starts. And whether you hate them or you love them, cheesy Christmas movies are part of our culture's Christmas of celebration. A writer was curious about the appeal of these movies and why people are drawn to them, and so she interviewed a number of therapists trying to get to the bottom of it. They said that our brains love certainty, and that predictability gives us comfort, especially when we are stressed. These movies offer simple fixes to complex issues. Everything is solved in 90 minutes, bypassing the pain of grief, the complexity of relationships, the difficulty of forgiveness, and the time and emotional work it takes to resolve conflict. We love to escape into a world where there are easy solutions and it all works out. People fall in love, the good guy wins. It makes us feel good. Hope, peace, love, and joy are the things Hallmark movies are made of. And throw in a dog and some snow and you have the hit formula for the feel-good entertainment. But those same words, hope, peace, joy, and love, we also find somewhere else at Christmas. They are the themes of the candles on our Advent wreath, words we find in another Christmas story. And this Christmas story is no fantasy. Real life is complicated. Our dreams don't always come true. Brokenness exists. Things are not always fair, and the world isn't always as we think it should be. Problems aren't solved in 90 minutes. Forgiveness isn't easy. Resolution takes time. And it's into this mess of our world, the mess of our realities, that God enters as a baby, a light shining in the darkness. In Jesus, we are given hope that this life is not all there is, that there is a place where brokenness is healed, where suffering ends, where life is as it should be. The Bible uses the word hope well over 100 times, and we often use this word hope like a wish. 2 weeks ago, Reese was sick and had the nasty cold that was going around. And in the Arnold household, we hoped that none of the rest of us would get sick. We hope we will get what we want for Christmas. We hope that we will receive that promotion. We hope that justice is served in the circumstance that we find ourselves in. In all those cases, we have something we want, something we are wishing for, but we don't know the outcome for sure. The hope we have at Christmas is different. Biblical hope is the knowing of the outcome. It has been determined, it has been defined as the confident expectation of what God has promised. Let me say that again. It has been defined as the confident expectation of what God has promised. At Christmas, God sent a Savior into the world, a rescuer. And through his life and resurrection, we have the promise that there is life beyond this one, that our circumstances here are temporary. We read about this hope in 1 Peter chapter 1. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. We are given hope in the birth, life, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This week on Tuesday night, we are having a Blue Christmas service. This is a contemplative service for those who are hurting. The season can be lonely, and when we are grieving and missing loved ones, it can be hard to enter into. This is when we need hope, that gentle reminder that we are not alone. Emmanuel, God with us. We need reminding that our circumstances are temporary and that there is a life beyond this one that promises freedom from pain and suffering. Jesus, who entered into our world at Christmas, brings hope and he brings peace. Isaiah 9 calls him the Prince of Peace. It's a banner we have hanging up here in the sanctuary today. May we wonder if this is wishful thinking. After all, we live in a world of chaos, with wars and conflict, pandemics and division. Have you noticed this year how seldom political rivals find points of agreement? And that when it does happen, instead of celebrating that they can agree on something, it's almost a disappointment to those who follow them. Because it's easier to fight, it's easier to be defensive and take shots from a distance than it is to move towards conflict with the goal of authentic peace. Jesus brings internal and external peace. Internal peace comes from trusting him. We give up control. We stop trying to be something we're not. We stop hiding. We embrace our weakness. We accept others. Over our sabbatical, I read a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality that focused on the truth that spiritual maturity is tied to emotional maturity. When we have emotional maturity, we are able to remain steady in the midst of conflict. We are able to recognize when we have a reaction to something that is not proportional to what actually happened. We are able to acknowledge our emotion and address conflict humbly and directly. We don't avoid or hide or pretend. As we mature spiritually, we grow in our acceptance of ourselves and of others. We are not surprised by sin, and we are able to freely give grace. We can admit when we are wrong. We can ask for forgiveness. We can do better. This spiritual and emotional maturity de-escalates conflict and brings peace to the spaces we are in. Colossians 3, 12 to 15 says these words, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." The work of peacemaking is active. It is seeing where conflict exists, where justice is needed, where unfairness lies, and is working on behalf of others for peace. Jesus calls those who follow him to be peacemakers, to live out these words. In movies, it is easy to pick out the villains, to identify the conflict, to know who to cheer for. In real life, things are not always so clear. Conversations are more difficult. Often when we find ourselves in conflict, there is a part for us to own. Peace isn't always found in a quick conversation. It can take years of effort and intentional work. But it is the work Jesus did and the work he calls us to. Jesus, who entered into our world at Christmas, brings hope. Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings love. And Jesus brings joy. I think joy is my favorite during the season of Advent. We see it everywhere. We sing about it. At our house in our living room, we have a red wooden sign that says joy. And it makes us happy every year to unpack it out of the box and to put it up on the shelf. It's the word that seems to capture what I want to feel at Christmas, the celebration and goodness of life with God. On that first Christmas night, the angels said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." People who had been waiting for 400 years for a word from God were about to find out that God not only had something to say, but that he came personally to say it. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus came into the world at Christmas as a baby to give us life, and joy is a part of that. Healthy relationships and deep connection, purpose, and in knowing what we are doing matters. Fullness of a life lived for God. But the thief comes to kill and destroy. In this context, Jesus is talking about the failed religious leaders of Israel, those who had gotten it wrong, working in opposition of Jesus, taking away the life God desired to give. When it comes to joy, there are things that work in opposition that keep us from experiencing this fullness of life with God. Comparison steals our joy. Bitterness steals our joy. Anger steals our joy. Fears steal our joy. Stress steals our joy. When we talk about biblical joy, it is different from happiness, because happiness is temporary. We are happy if we get that special item we want, and then it breaks, or we get tired of it, and we set our eyes on something new. What we had no longer brings that feeling. But joy is something that lasts. It can exist in grief. It can exist in hardship. It can exist even in having everything taken away. Eugene Peterson says, "Joy is not what we have to acquire in order to experience life in Christ. It is what comes to us when we are walking in the way of faith and obedience." Joy is not what we have to acquire in order to experience life in Christ. It is what comes to us when we are walking in the way of faith and obedience. We don't have to force a feeling. It's not something we have to find ourselves. It is something we receive as we walk with God in depth over time. Jesus came into our world at Christmas and brings hope. Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings love. And Jesus brings joy. Christmas movies bring us love stories, chance meetings, romance, families brought together. But the real love story at Christmas isn't about romance. It's about a love that stays, a love that doesn't change. In John 3:16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God sent his son into the world to love the world. When our oldest daughter, Jaden, was young, Jen would tuck her in at night and say, "I love you to the moon and back." And she would say back, "I love you." And then it would be, "I love you more. I love you most." And then finally, Jen would say, "I love you to the moon and back 100,000 times. Well, evidently at her age, that was the highest that she could possibly go because she wouldn't answer back at that point. But friends, God's love for us is big. God's love for us is to the moon and back 100,000 times. This isn't holiday love. It is a love that is reaching out that won't go away. In our last sermon series, Jen preached on the story of the prodigal son, really two sons who were lost, and a father who went towards them in an invitation to come home. God's love reaches out. Whether we have lost our way and find ourselves far from God this Christmas, or we are close but simply going through the motions, God loves us. God is inviting us to come home, to receive his son as our King and Savior. Advent is a season where we anticipate the coming of Christ. Henry Nouwen said, "The Lord is coming, always coming. Be alert to his coming. When you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you will recognize him at any moment in your life. Life is Advent. Life is recognizing the coming of the Lord." But what is true is that in Advent, we are waiting to celebrate the best love story of all. Jesus coming into the world at Christmas, and it is true that Jesus continues each day to come into our lives. And if we aren't paying attention, we will miss it. Friends, we need to watch to see God entering into the world every day. In small ways, telling us there is hope, demonstrating to us that there is a path for peace, that joy can be experienced in every circumstance, even the hard ones where we feel numb, that we are loved and accepted and have a home in him. This is the story of Christmas, better than any Hallmark movie. Our problems may not be solved in 90 minutes, but our story also has an end that is predictable. We know what will happen because of the promises we have been given. And this brings a comfort and security that are real and lasting. So in these last few days of our waiting this week, it's okay to watch a few cheesy Christmas movies, but also please spend some time looking for the ways that God's love reaches out into our world and into our lives. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that you extend to us. And we just ask your presence with us. Help us to have eyes this week as we march towards Christmas that would be filled, and hearts that would be filled with expectation and anticipation of the birth of your Son. God, in the midst of all of the many traditions and things that we have going on, help us to not be blinded and lose sight of the real reason of what you want us to see in this season. And that's your Son, our King, Jesus Christ, born for you and me. We lift up these things and pray them in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing together. Friends, as we head out into our world this week, and it will be filled with lots of things, may we not lose sight of the hope and the peace and the love and joy that God longs to extend to you and to me, that you might be able to, with open arms, receive the embrace that he has just for you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all from this day forward and evermore. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great day.